Welcome to this audio sermon presented by Blue Letter Bible. Due to the fragile nature of cassette tape storage, a portion of the beginning of this teaching became inaudible. Fortunately, we do not believe any of the spiritual content or the applications contained within the rest of this message have been affected. We thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless the time you spend in His Word.
The very environment. And so this is taking place today. What will God do? He will create a new heaven and a new earth. And this is wonderful to let your imagination soar and your speculation go wild and wonder what a new earth redeemed would be like. And some people say, Bill, will there be golf on this new earth? And I say, of course there will. And the greens will be perfect dichondra, never a three-putt. And you've got all kinds of opportunities like that. Amen. God make a new heaven and a new earth, and this will be destroyed. Secondly, God will defeat all His enemies. All of them will be destroyed, taken care of. Would you turn with me now to the book of Revelation, and we'll read first of all from chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. And here is the Apostle John writing, I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the earth. And the first angel went and poured out his bowl into the earth and became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea and it became blood like that of a dead man. And every living thing in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers, springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, righteous art thou who art and who wast, O Holy One, because thou didst judge these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. They deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings from the east. And this is now very possible because of the dam that was built in Turkey. And the Euphrates River will be dried up, and the military people from the east will come through. Verse 13, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world, to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame. And they gathered them together in the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there was a great earthquake, such as had not been since man came to be on the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon the Great was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague and the hail, and was extremely severe. This is the mention of the Battle of Armageddon, where the military units of the world gather in the Valley of Megiddo. When Napoleon once said that this valley is the natural battlefield for all the armies of the world to gather. And here they are, to make war against the Lord and to remove Israel from the face of the earth. And God steps in at that time, and he destroys them. Would you please turn to chapter 19 in the book of Revelation? Revelation 19. So we have these events in the last days. God will defeat his enemies. Revelation 19:11. John is writing what he saw. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many crowns. And he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid heaven, come assemble for the great supper of God, in order that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves, small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat upon the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. If you read Revelation chapter 14, you will get a fuller description of the Lord's assault on the nations in the Valley of Megiddo at the Battle of Armageddon, where it says that for 200 miles the blood will flow to the height of the horse's bridle. The slaughter will be so intense when God defeats his enemies. Satan, the Antichrist, the demon world, the rebellious, and all unbelieving will never triumph over our God. He will defeat his enemies. And I hope that we can get out of our minds what the artists have done to us in presenting to us this mild and gentle Jesus. He is loving and compassionate, but he is fierce in his wrath. And he has no less wrath against evil than does God the Father. And he will overthrow and defeat all his enemies. In these last days, God will make a new heaven and a new earth and destroy this present earth. He will also defeat all his enemies. A third thing that we know God will do is that he will give his elect their eternal inheritance. God's own purchased possession, his people whom he loves, he will give them their eternal inheritance. And this eternal inheritance includes many things. One of the first things we can mention is a new body. In Philippians chapter 3, we read that we are citizens of heaven and that we belong in heaven. And one day God will give us a body suitable for heaven, a body that will be changed into the likeness of his glorious body. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. You ought to read that. You ought to memorize that. How many here would like a new body? Well, that's okay. One that no longer squeaks and groans and aches and so on. Just think of that. And in 1 John, it says, when we see him, we shall be like him in his glorious resurrected body. What a great thing God will do for us. A body that will no longer be contaminated or polluted by sin or hate or bitterness or any lack of forgiveness. The body will be new. Now, this is an interesting thing that God does for his people. When he saves us, he doesn't just change our old nature. He gives us a new nature, a divine nature from himself. The Holy Spirit in us, a new nature, a new life. And for heaven, he will give us a new body. And at one point, when God so plans it, he will bring about the resurrection of the bodies of those saints, those believers who have died, and they will receive a new resurrection body. For believers who are alive on the earth at that moment, they will be translated in the twinkling of an eye and receive this new body, which will be right for heaven and eternity. And that is a part of our eternal inheritance. And if you like that, say amen. Now, God will also give us a new glory. And he speaks of this in Romans 8, 16 and 17, that if we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified with him. And no human being can possibly explain and define adequately the glory of God. But we can think about it, and you think about his radiance, the perfection of our God, a halo effect that is realistic, is to be ours. A new glory because of purity. A new glory with no corruption. As Paul wrote about this again in Romans 8, that great passage beginning in verse 28, he said that whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. So in our present position in Christ before God, it is as it has already happened, we have been glorified. The full experience of that will be in the eternal state when we will have a new glory. Thirdly, we will have what could be called a new life. And according to Revelation 21, these are the things that will be new. Let me read this to you. Revelation 21, where John writes to say, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is among men. He shall dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Now, this passage is probably read at funeral services more frequently than at other times. This new thing, this new life, free from all the hindrances and the problems and the trials and the tribulations of this life. No more crying. Every tear wiped away by the divine hand of compassion and strength. And you can add to this list at least one thing that isn't mentioned here that we need to mention. No more sin. Can you think of that? No more sin. We will never sin. People around us will never sin. We'll be free from conflict, free from trials, free from disturbed relationships. It will be perfection. That's the new life that we have. And you can continue this thought of what he said of the land of the no mores. No more taxes, okay? No more smog. No more flat tires on the freeway. And praise the Lord, no more freeways. Yes. God will give his elect their eternal inheritance. The fourth thing that should be mentioned is that we will have a new estate, in that the Bible says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we learn in the book of Hebrews that Christ has been appointed the heir of all things. Now that means ownership. He possesses everything you can think of. The heavens and the earth and all of space and all of the universe, all of the wealth, all of the gold and silver, everything in and on this earth, he owns. In Romans 8:17, it states that we are joint heirs with him. We have a joint account to the wealth of this universe. And this is all by grace. It is not as though we deserve anything. No human being deserves any reward. Now, there is a teaching that if you are especially a good Christian, in the heavenly estate, you will be better off than some of the rest of us who weren't so good. And the thought goes on, you will drive a better car, you will have a bigger house, and all of that. I deny that with all my being. Everything that God does for his people is by grace. And when we reach the heavenly estate, he says he will present us spotless and blameless before him in love, and we all share as joint heirs of Christ because of the grace of God. And there will be no levels of position or rank where one is above the other. We are all joint heirs with Jesus Christ. but it's also a legal thing. We are legally there. We legally own everything with him because he has brought us into his family. And while Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings, he is also our brother. And he is an heir of it all. And we are joint heirs with him. It's a legal thing. Not only that, it's by experience in that in Colossians we read that God has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That means God has made us right for heaven. God has made us worthy for heaven. God has made us adequate for heaven. God has made us fit for heaven. He has qualified us. It is right. And we are there by his grace. The Bible also says that this inheritance is permanent. Peter says it is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, and it is reserved in heaven for you. And here's the great thing God does. He has this eternal estate reserved for you. And he is reserving you for the estate. He will bring the two together. That is the marvelous grace of God. Let me say to you, he'll get you there, folks. He is adequate and sufficient to do that. And to give us hope now, he has given us a guarantee or a down payment on that estate by sealing us with the Holy Spirit. We are heirs. Now a rancher has a son, and he has a hired hand. And these two men, the son and the hired hand, work alongside all day long. They wear the same kind of work clothes, and they are together. And they do a lot of things in life together. And the father who owns the ranch dies. And only the son receives the estate because he is the heir. Heirship makes the difference. Are you an heir of God this morning? Are you sure about that? So you wouldn't want to miss this, not just because of the greatness, but because we get to be with our God forever. Being an heir makes the difference. The hired hand does not get the estate. Now, also in this new estate, we have a new commission. Our role will be different. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said that if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him, rule with him. And that's clear in other parts of Scripture. Our role is changed. We read a passage of Scripture that says when Jesus comes, he will smite the nations, but they are not obliterated, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. That is, he will establish order, and he will establish peace, and we rule and reign with him. That is our new commission. What will God do in these last days? He will give his people their eternal inheritance. And as far as the response is concerned, the Bible is full of that. To be ready, to love his appearing, to desire his appearing, to love him and serve him with all of our heart, and to understand as we read the Scripture, is it worth it now to be a Christian? and maybe to be ridiculed and to be persecuted and to suffer and have a hard time, is it worth it? Yes, it is. Also, our response has to be considered this way, not to waste a day. The time is short, and it looks very short now. Not to waste a day with hate, not to waste a day with bitterness, lack of forgiveness, immorality, all kinds of selfishness, to waste a day in drugs or drinking or a cult, to be disgruntled or discontent, nor to hoard the gospel, nor to hoard our money. Is he worth serving? Yes. Esau sold his birthright. We need to be careful in our day that we respond in the right way. There's also gratitude, relief, and comfort, and we serve him faithfully.